anarchy. That's what we got in America today. We got anarchy created by the Jews. Welcome to Bloodlines. Today is January 14th. Can't believe we're halfway through the month already. 2018. And today we're going to continue our series on Hebrew as the source language of the Indo-Aryan languages. And today we're going to concentrate on English, Hebrew and English, and of course, my usual co-host, Pastor Steve. Welcome, Pastor Steve.
Yeah, thank you, Eli. Hey, you know something? It's okay to be white.
Oh, yeah, that's a nice slogan. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been reading and listening, and I was listening to Mr. Taylor and his little dissertation that David James put up. And Jared Taylor, and it's just, the guy is very well spoken, and
yes,
presents a good lick on that video that he put up.
Right.
I'm really getting fed up to my eyeballs with these creatures.
In the ghetto.
Well, any of them. Oh, right. We need to eliminate the white race. Well, I'm right here right now. Bring it on.
Yeah, right.
See how well you do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, try it.
Yeah, I'm known for my mm-hmm. my weakness and my touchy feely warm and fuzzy attitude.
Yeah, your hair trigger.
Yeah. Well.
We all know about that. But
I don't know. I haven't shot any hairs lately.
Yeah.
But
right.
That's all right.
Well, you like to split frog hairs.
So I like to split heads too.
Right, there we go.
Let's not mince words, okay?
Yes. Well, speaking of heads, one of the topics of today, well, in fact, I already posted today's topic in the chat area of the website, and let's just go right to it, Pastor Steve, because and let me quickly dispel another myth that is popular among the academics who believe Jew lies. And that is the myth that Phoenician is older than Hebrew. Now, we did a show, maybe a year ago, maybe more, about the Tyrians and their relationship to King Solomon. It was, we did a show about the queen of, it's a daughter of, what's his name? Jezebel's husband, Ahab, right?
Yeah.
And she and Jezebel emanated from Tyre. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, Tyre did not exist prior to the invasion of Canaan land by the Israelites. And before it became a heathen territory, they were ruled by Israelites. They were ruled by Israelites. That territory was ruled by Israelites, who had commerce with King Solomon, and that's where King Solomon got the cedars of Lebanon from, okay?
Yeah, Tyre and Zidon.
Exactly.
All of those towns, they apostatized and became pagan later.
That's right. Right. And so the idea that the Phoenician language or the Phoenician alphabet is older than the Hebrew is just poppycock. Pure
well, we were going out of Egypt in reed boats.
Yes.
And we migrated all up in through that area. We predated any of those people.
That's right. That's right.
That's the whole thing. That was before the Exodus from Egypt.
Yeah.
There were seafarers that went up there, tribe of Dan, but a bunch of people.
Yeah. Yeah. So I forget which tribes actually, it was either Asher, it may have been Asher, that actually took over that territory that ultimately became known as Tyre. But it was never known as Tyre beforehand, okay? That's an Israelite enclave, and of course the Israelites abode in ships. Many of the tribes were seafaring tribes, unlike the Jewish Canaanites, who were not seafarers. They were sheep herders and goat herders. That's what they were, okay? So this idea, they get this idea from the false Jewish claim that they are Semites, so-called, and that the Semitic languages, came from all over the place. No, Hebrew emanates from Eber, our ancestor, a real
Eber, yeah.
Flesh and blood person. Not some figure. See, the academics consider a hybrid.
And they're called Ibrim.
Right.
The Hebrews.
Yeah, right. And the academics consider the Old Testament to be fiction. Therefore, they deny the actual history, even though archaeology has proven the Bible to be true millions of times. These academics still believe their own nonsense. Okay? It's pure nonsense. That's what it is. Okay? So... Yeah. So let's go into this article, which I put into the chat room, and let's just take a quick look. And this is from www.british-israel.us, and okay, and it just it shows the letter Aleph derived from the shape of an ox head, or you could also a longhorn steer, right? So you have you have this shape, and this is where the letter A comes from. You turn it upside down, and it's the letter A.
Yeah.
Okay. And it changed forms through, and it was actually picked up in the runes because Michael Swede was talking, I was actually inspired by his lecture today to look this stuff
too.
Up.
I was listening.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, Odin was a real person, derived from Israel. he talked about the genealogy.
He was a leader, a tribal leader, and they deified him.
Yeah.
They deified a lot of our ancestors.
Yes. And the letter B, known as Bet in Hebrew, is actually the ground plan for a tent. When you lay it on the ground, it actually looks like a G, like a capital G. And just looking at this, they must have built tents with like a side entrance to protect from the wind because they didn't have zippers. They didn't have zippers in those days. So they must have had a big old flap over the entrance. Okay.
Well, those were not little tents. Those were not one man put them up
right.
All by yourself. These were huge. You'd have a whole family in there, and they carried tent poles with them, and they were sewn out of skins and then daubed wherever the seams were. They worked the seams over, and they had people whose profession was tent making.
That's what Paul was.
Paul was a tent maker.
Yeah, yeah.
People lived in tents.
Right.
You know, they were nomadic. They when you used up all the graze in one area, you moved the flocks and you moved your tents and you just moved.
Right, right.
They'd come around to the same spot the next year when all the grass had grown back.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We won't go through all of these, but the third one is Gam, which has an L shaped. Means the picture is a foot, but the foot includes the ankle. That's where you get the L shape from, okay? And that's Gimel, the letter Gimel. And then D for Dal, that one has survived pretty much intact.
Dalet.
Okay. And then H comes from a pictogram of a man with his arms up. I surrender, right? And that became our letter E. Okay.
No, that become an H.
Sorry. In Greek, it becomes an E. Yeah, in Greek, it becomes an E. All right, so this is how, and nobody has any earlier pictograms than these, especially phonetically. All right? So Phoenician simply picked up these letters, and so did Greek. The Greek language picked up these Hebrew letters, and use them and change them for themselves. Okay? That's what happens.
Right.
And any academic who thinks that Phoenician is older than Hebrew has not done any research. they're simply perpetuating a lie.
They have an agenda they want to push.
Yeah, yeah, a Jewish agenda. Right. All right, so the title of the article is, Was English Derived from Hebrew? The idiomatic likenesses between English and Hebrew were noticed by Tyndale. In fact, we quoted this last week. When he translated the scriptures, he said, quote, the properties of the Hebrew tongue agreeth 1,000 times more with the English than with the Latin. The manner of speaking is in both one, so that in 1,000 places there needs not but to translate the Hebrew word for word. Okay? So in many sentences, the Hebrew and the English have exactly the same syntax, which the next couple of sentences state. Canon Lyson found 5,000 Hebrew roots in the English language.
Yeah, the word school.
Mm-hmm.
What school. Is it in Hebrew? School.
Yeah. Okay. Right. From our British ancestors. Other authorities put the figure still higher. The Welsh is so much like the Hebrew that the same syntax may be used for both. And these are all what they call Indo-Aryan languages, right? We proved last week that miscategorization is wrong.
I mean, we've been blowing so many false theories out of the water. It's pathetic.
Yeah. But, of course, these are deeply rooted errors in academia and in Judeo-Christianity. And they don't look to the history of our people. They're not interested in Christian history because that might blow their theories. Okay.
Well, they're pretty much, it's a cult, and their mind is closed like a steel trap.
They're the cult, not us.
they're a cult, and their mind is closed. Don't confuse me with facts.
Right. The Old Saxon language is said to be 80% Hebrew. That's a pretty high percentage. Yeah. You don't get that in Swahili.
No, sure don't.
Or Coptic, or any other language except the Anglo-Saxon languages. Because, as we proved last week, the Indo-Aryan languages, Sanskrit, is derived from Hebrew. We proved that last week, folks. The oldest poems...
The Angles became the Angle-ish.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Right. And the Angles are a branch of
the word ish.
12 tribes.
The man.
There you go. Yeah.
Angle ish.
Yeah. Yeah. The town of Cadiz in Spain. Men of Gadesh. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we can trace the migration of our people through the changes in the language as they migrated from Assyria, Acer, or Assar, as Michael Swede pronounced it.
Ashur.
Okay. Yeah, Ashur, Assyria. Okay.
Right. And it's not to be confused with Ashur.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tribe of Israel.
And that's where the Svear.
The Ashurim.
Yeah.
Were the tribe, the Assyrians, and we were related to all those people.
Yes, yeah. Well, Ashur is
at one time.
Yeah, Asher.
Well, now Asher and Ashur are two different things. Don't get them confused.
Yeah, yeah.
They have totally opposite meanings.
Okay. So let's continue here. So the old Anglo-Saxon language, which is what our ancestor carried from Assyria into Europe, okay? The oldest poems in the Celtic language are in the Book of the Dun Cow, 1106 AD, and are not unlike the poetical passages of the Old Testament. And this is from the Encyclopedia Britannica, that quotation. Not unlike the poetical passages. Now, why do you think there's a similarity, Pastor Steve? Right?
Well, okay. we were in migratory progress at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this isn't like we're here 1 week and then we're in Europe the next week.
Yeah.
No, this was over years and years and years.
Thousands.
We worked our way up.
Amen. Up to Northern Europe.
Yeah.
Russia.
I mean, there was
Sweden.
There were no highways. There were no automobiles or no trucks or buses.
Yes.
It was foot traffic.
Yes.
Over unbroken land. It was wild.
Yeah, it was a wilderness.
Rough country.
It was a total wilderness, except for maybe the coastlands, which seafarers had settled from who knows when, eons ago.
And they
ago.
Had little coves in which they would build villages.
Yes.
But inland, no big cities. No big cities. There were random groups of people.
Yeah, on rivers.
They were usually pretty warlike.
Yes.
Because they're afraid of people taking their stuff.
Right. Yeah.
So
it was like the Stone Age.
it was the Stone Age.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Isaiah 28:11 says, quote, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak," that is Yahweh, "to his people." The Hebrew word for stammering here is leeg, reading right to left, it's gale. Reading right to left, it's gale. But English reads left to right, so it would be pronounced gale from the Hebrew in English. So Gaelic is not only the foundation of the English language, but how about Galilee? Is there any chance that Gale comes from Galilee?
Well,
yeah, not from Swahili.
They
folks.
Were all very they changed the spelling, and it was regional pronunciations like we have here. We in the United States we have a huge landmass.
Yes,
a guy from New England does not talk like a person from Southern California.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Or the South.
Amen. Amen to that. There's different dialects, but the foundation, this is why the written language is so important, because you can show the derivation of the northern runes. We have Paleo-Hebrew inscriptions in America, and the knowledge about Paleo-Hebrew didn't actually come about until about 100 years ago. All right, so none of these ancient monuments could possibly have been forged, like the Ten Commandments stone in New Mexico, right? And we have Paleo-Hebrew inscriptions all up and down the East Coast and going into Tennessee, even in Michigan. We have Paleo-Hebrew inscriptions. So who put those there? Okay. The language scholars and the archaeologists.
Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, there you go.
The Hebrews.
The Hebrews, right. So, Gaelic is not only the foundation of the English language, but is still spoken in its primitive simplicity in many places in Wales, Scotland, and the north of Ireland. God does speak to us through the English Bible. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing, because you mentioned the Israelites sailing across the Mediterranean in reed boats, and also more sophisticated.
Sailed across the Atlantic and reed boats.
Yeah, that's right. And so their first place of settlement was Ireland, Britain, and Spain. That's why Spain originally was called
Iberia. Well, they
made
way stations. They made way stations up there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'd pull in and stop, and they'd pick up supplies and or local trade goods, and they either went back and traded them, or they just picked up supplies and went on to the British Isles, where they had copper and tin mines.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mining was a big thing, because they used that to make a lot of their metals and alloys.
Yes. Solomon actually sent ships across the Atlantic to America to mine copper, right?
Of course.
Yeah, in Michigan, now today known as Michigan. So, we've done the research, folks. You know, only Christian Identity and British Israel have any interest in this very detailed history, all right? So the first Israelites to Ireland were the Tuatha De Danann, the tribe of Dan. They had arrived there first. And then they were later joined by Zerah-Judah, okay? At which point the tribe of Dan accepted the leadership of the tribe of Judah because of the red thread, okay, which was tied around Zerah-Judah's wrist. And then he left Egypt because his brother Pharez was older, and he was the one who got the inheritance. So the Zerah-Judahites left. They escaped from Egyptian captivity and then wound up also in Ireland, where they merged with the Danites there. And that's the history of the Irish people.
Right, right.
Okay.
But it's Peretz.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, his brother, his elder brother, who accompanied Moses in the Exodus. The Zerah-Judahites did not accompany Moses. Zerah. They did not accompany
Zerah.
Moses.
It's Ach on the end. Zerah.
So the Hebrew word for stammering here is leg, we'll get into the booster phedron and how did some of these words become reversed in English. And that's an interesting study, which again proves the origin of English in Hebrew. Okay? Judges 12:6 says the Ephraimites had trouble pronouncing the aspirate H in shibboleth. Okay, give us the Hebrew pronunciation here of this word shibboleth, because we pronounce it.
All right, it is shibboleth,
mm-hmm.
They said shibboleth.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't get that H out.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't get the sh sound, the s.
Okay.
Instead of sh.
Well, now it's interesting. The Irish today, they never use the th sound, the sound. Actually, neither does the German. So that's the sound somehow came about in historically. Because
the th is a th. It's a th, combination
okay.
sound.
Yes.
Shibboleth.
Mm-hmm.
Like a daughter, bot.
Mm-hmm.
B-A-T-H, not Bath.
Right.
But.
Yeah. So the T-H that we pronounce is a later invention.
It's a later invention.
Okay. In Britain today, especially the Cockney can't pronounce it either. Neither can Paul English, right? Can't pronounce it either. You still hear, don't be so oggish with your oranges. They put the H in front of words that doesn't belong, and they delete it from words where it does belong. Oggish, right? Don't be oggish.
Oranges.
Yeah, exactly. So, again, this shows that the dialects change, but the Israelite origin, the Hebrew origin is there. You can see it, okay?
That'd be like they'd be in some waterfront bar down there. He's messing around with them oars.
Right.
why is he fooling around with oars? Does he have a rowboat?
Yes, right. That's right.
Oh, that's what you mean.
Speak of the English. Brother Aber says, I didn't do nothing, man.
I didn't do nothing, man.
Right. So, I sure wish our people would speak English, or in this case, Hebrew.
Oh, man. Too much fun.
Yeah, even the Hebrew obviously had all kinds of dialects.
Well, they had local dialects.
They certainly
did.
Mm-hmm. But you can trace the root words. Fortunately, the language was written down. And the fact is, folks, this is the fact of the matter. It was our ancestors, the Adamites, who probably spoke a version of Hebrew in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Adam was the one who categorized the animals,
mm-hmm.
all right, and gave them names. And then this language, they usually attribute the spoken language and written language to the Chaldeans, but Chaldean is just another version of Hebrew, okay? So it was probably things that Adam himself wrote down, okay? The phonetic language developed from that, all right? In fact, the Chinese language, the stick figures that they use, actually refer back also to the Garden of Eden, but they never developed a phonetic language.
All of that comes from the fact that they used reeds, and they would carve a reed,
mm-hmm.
and then take a very fine blade and split it like they did a fountain, like a pen, before mm-hmm. we had fountain pens.
Right.
You had to dip a pen, a reed pen, or a quill,
mm-hmm.
which was better. They used feathers in ink, and then you wrote with that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it was much easier to make straight lines, etc., etc., than the cursives that we currently
right.
use.
Yeah, and that goes
especially
for the
especially when they were using papyrus.
Right.
When they went to the hard quill, we started to get the cursive English writing that we have now.
Right, right.
Because I've been into calligraphy for years.
Okay. Yeah.
And I have a whole set of pens, and I can write block Hebrew or Paleo.
Mm-hmm.
I can, and then
yeah.
I don't do the script because that's exclusively Jewish.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And even before quills, there were the styluses used to inscribe stone and clay, which was ultimately hardened into kind of monuments that still exist today.
Well, they would do the clay while it was still malleable.
Right.
And then they would put it in a furnace, and they would harden the clay. They would bake it like ceramic.
Mm-hmm.
And then they filed it away. It was like a clay tablet.
That's right.
And some of them were clay quite tablet. Ornate, and they've held up over mm-hmm. the years.
Yes.
If they were protected from the weather.
Yes. Yes.
But they took to writing on papyrus paper and animal hides, which did not stand the test of time. All our scrolls.
Yes.
There's pieces and parts missing because they just physically, due to bacteria, et cetera, they were
sure.
animal, and they deteriorated. And we've got holes and gaps mm-hmm. in the Dead Sea Scrolls that the Essenes had.
Yes, but these clay tablets go back thousands of years.
Oh, they've got
thousands.
They've discovered in collapsed buildings in these ancient sites thousands of these clay tablets, and a lot
yes.
of them just turned out to be business records for right. whatever business was in that building.
Yes.
And
yes.
then they
Wills,
had the kingly, yeah,
receipts.
Yeah, kingly records. I just sold 700 sheep and 400 mm-hmm. pots to Yaka
King,
Waka Waka.
King Hammurabi.
Whatever. And they'd find all these things. Then they had all the stela, which is like a little pyramid, or a little, not a pyramid, a
cylinder. Most of them are in the form of a cylinder.
Well, it's like the Washington Monument is a
right.
giant stela.
Right.
This is a
yeah.
small thing, and they had four sides to them, and they were directions. Like you'd have a road sign,
mm-hmm.
they'd have a stela out there at a crossroads.
They still
way,
they'll still survive.
Right, yeah. this way to so-and-so, and
right.
on the other side, I had a thing this way to so-and-so, this road to so-and-so, and they're still out there.
That's right. That's
you
right.
said.
Yeah.
A lot of what we're studying today is conjecture, because we don't have extant the actual physical objects mm-hmm. that they wrote on.
Yeah.
They're but so ate up over time. But we're doing this word study with words that we do know that mm-hmm. are from ancient times that are recognizable in our current language structure.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so speaking of the use of the Celtic use of the Hebrew rule of aspiration, Dr. Meyer says, the quote, the assuming of the guttural aspiration on the part of the consonant under the influence of the preceding vowel is the kind of change regularly adopted in Irish, whereas in Welsh, the vocalization of the mute is now the general rule. It is now unquestionable, however, from the gradual and even now only partial adoption of this rule in Welsh, that the Irish usage is the more ancient. And yes, and this is true, because we just documented that Ireland was settled first by the Israelites.
Absolutely.
Okay. And Welsh was populated about 700 years later by, well, the today they would be called the Celtiberians, but by the Cimmerioi, which is the Greek word for the house of Omri, King Omri. And they migrated before the Assyrian. They left Israel, ancient Israel, before the Assyrian captivity. They made their escape and migrated to Wales. And that's why the Welsh still call themselves the Cymru or Cymru today.
Yeah, I was going to say Cymru.
Yeah, it's spelled right. Cymru, but it's the Cimmerians or Cimmerians. Right. In, okay. So the Welsh actually derive also from Israel, but they were a later migration. So you can see their language would have mutated a little bit. And before they migrated to Wales, which is just across the bay from Ireland. All right, so they're blood relatives. And they spoke different versions of Hebrew.
Yep.
That's the fact, folks. They simply spoke different versions of Hebrew. So he says, go ahead.
You get into this, and it's more and more fascinating.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We used to get education on things like this, but now they've dumbed everything down. And unless you are in a scholarship program that is a language program, unless you study languages, you miss out on this, and it's not taught in our schools. Our school systems are so miserable today.
Yeah, been unified.
My people perish for lack of knowledge.
Amen. Amen. All right. So it is unquestionable now that the Irish is more ancient of the two, as is still further proved by its striking analogy with that of the Dagesh, Lene, in Hebrew. Okay, what do you recognize these two words as Hebrew here? Dagesh Lene?
It's a light and a dark. Okay.
Okay.
It's a very light hardness and a very strong Dagesh.
So it's okay. So it's a contrast. It's a contrast between the light and the dark.
It's a pronunciation thing, but you have to be careful. It has been tampered with very, very much by the Jews.
Yeah, okay. Davidson's Hebrew grammar says, quote, the word dagesh is from a root which possibly expressed the idea of hardness, dagan. The sign of dagesh is a point in the bosom of a letter, and this point was used to indicate both a lighter and a heavier kind of darkness, or hardness, sorry. When it indicates the lighter hardness, it is called delaine. When stronger, it is called deforte. Well, in fact, that's very interesting, because forte in music
Dagesh lene and dagesh forte.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they have designated it. That,
yeah,
but
yeah.
It's
and
not,
in music, the word forte means strong, hard. You know,
right.
Play it hard. Okay, and Lene, light, yes. Play it light, soft, okay? So you can see that these words derive from Hebrew. You can take any sentence in Hebrew and change it into Gaelic, word for word, without altering the order of a single word or particle, and you will have the correct Gaelic idiom in every case. You cannot do that with any other language in Europe. Well,
that
of course,
is correct.
Yeah, yeah, although the English... Which is
Hebrew is backwards, like I said the other day.
Right.
We would say, I am going to the store. In Hebrew, to the store I am going.
That's how it's done in German.
Also in German, to the store I am going.
That's right. Okay. So that's the word order in a particular sentence. And that can be changed, but that's the common word order in German. And in common in English, it's reversed. We usually start sentences with the word I, with the noun or with the pronoun, the subject. Okay. And in German and other languages, it starts with the verb. You know, to the store I am going, right?
Or it starts with an object and then gives an action, then gives the action relating to that object.
Right. So the syntax of English is, you know, very much subject-driven.
And in the German, there's a lot of Hebrew.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
A lot.
Yeah, we'll get into that next week.
It doesn't come from the Yiddish either.
No, it doesn't. It comes from the Hebrew. We'll do a show on the Hebrew derivation of German. We'll do that next week.
Well, that's the tribe of Yehuda.
Right. That's right.
Mainly the warrior. Yeah. That's why they've always been the greatest warriors.
Right. Now, Gaelic is Hebrew directly from Egypt. Those Israelites brought the Gaelic language, a so-called Gaelic language, with them. Some of them migrated across the northern face of Africa along the Mediterranean Sea. The Berber language is also a form of Gaelic, all right? Irish can go down to Berber land and converse with the Berbers because they also speak a form of Hebrew. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And the Berbers even today are still very much white, although they've mixed, you know, with the crowd in Africa a lot. But you'll find a lot of blonde haired, blue eyed Berbers down there because why? Because they're Israelites. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, without altering the order of a single word or particle, you have the correct Gaelic idiom in every case. You cannot do that with any other language in Europe. Hebrew has a rule which is known as aspiration, which applies to certain consonants when they follow a vowel. It means the same consonant has two different sounds, okay, depending on the vowel.
According to its position.
According to its position in the word.
Which is what I stress. Mm-hmm. And my word for word studies, and that's why on the pastor's version I give the Hebrew on the opposite page in English letters.
Yes, absolutely. Gaelic has the same rule, surprise, surprise, and applies it in exactly the same way. Even words borrowed from other languages are at once modified in sound according to the Hebrew rule of aspiration. Does any other language use this rule? We don't know of any. Well, it's preserved in the Gaelic. Why? Because the Gaels were Hebrews, Israelites.
That's right.
Ancient Media, where the 10 tribes were taken captive, is where the language of Sanskrit developed. We talked about this last week. Sanskrit has a more elaborate rule for modifying the consonants called sandhi, under which every consonant may have as many as 4 distinct sounds according to its position. So, in other words, before the development, let's put it this way, English has its pronunciation built into the spelling.
Correct.
Not always, but for, I'd say, 95% of English words have their pronunciation built like CH, punch, okay? You get the CH sound from the spelling. But in the ancient languages, they didn't have all these letters, and they didn't have these combinations. So depending on the position of the consonant in relation to the preceding vowel, it could be pronounced differently, okay? So you have to know this in order to translate it properly into English, right? And if you're not familiar with this, you wouldn't know how it's pronounced, okay? So Dr. Pritchard, in his book, The Eastern Origin of the Celtic Races, well, not Eastern, I would say the, let's put it this way, the Mediterranean and the, what's the land between the two rivers? The word escapes me for some reason. The land, Mesopotamia. the Mesopotamian origin of our people, okay, as documented in the Old Testament. He uses Eastern. I would substitute the word Mesopotamia. The Mesopotamian origin of the Celtic races has shown that Welsh alone of all living languages has preserved the rule of Sandi and Tyre. Again, showing the connection between Sanskrit, Hebrew, and Gaelic. Hello? Yep. Hello, yeah. People. This false derivation that the Indo-Aryan languages are distinct from the Hebrew is false. It's an academic falsehood.
Well, the Madai themselves, they said media, mm-hmm. but it was Madai.
Right.
They were related. Okay. Mm-hmm. They went apostate and,
right.
and they had the wrong gods. But they were of the same basic stock, and the language structure was also close.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. He proves from this and many other similarities, including words in such common use as the whole paradigm of the verb to be, which is what in Hebrew? Ava? Av? What's
Hayah.
Hayah. Okay.
Huh?
Hayah. And that the ancestors of the Welsh must have lived among people who spoke Sanskrit. No, they lived among people who spoke Hebrew, and Sanskrit developed from Hebrew. Okay?
Yeah.
These people were Israelites in Media. Amen to that. Thank you very much. Truth.
Israelites in the
plainly.
Land of Madai. That's correct. Good.
There you go. He also shows that Gothic... We are Goths. Gotish.
Gotish.
Mm-hmm. Meaning God people.
God's men.
Yeah, people of God. That's what Gotish means.
That's right.
It's pronounced Gothic. It's an anglicized. Well. Is the link between ancient Sanskrit and the modern Teutonic. All right, so we know that all of these people, the Goths, the Teuts, the Indo-Aryans, the Hebrews, the Gaels, the Celts, the Welsh, they're all Israelite people, every last one of them.
That's right. People are so freaked out. Why do you worry about it? And you talk all this Hebrew and you do all this stuff? Because it's my native language.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I am an Israelite in my original language, and people are the Ibrim.
Well,
the Hebrew people,
right?
I'm a 6'2" plus blonde-haired, blue-eyed Hebrew.
Well, if the Jews Jews claim to be Israelites, nobody accuses them of racism for making such an insistence, right? But when we insist that we're Israel and not them, we're accused of racism. You know, what's the big deal? Well, you got to get history right, folks. If you don't get history right, it is a big deal.
Well, those who don't study history are condemned to repeat it.
That's right. And guess what's happening today, folks?
That's you just beat me to it, Eli.
All right.
You will learn.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's a reason they've dumbed down the school system so the kids don't. Oh.
Yeah, right. They don't know anything.
This has happened before.
Yeah. How about it? Yeah, how many times?
Man,
Yeah. Never again, right? Never again, folks.
I never again. I
The grammatical structure.
I cannot get it as good as David James. No, right. David James is the master.
He's the
master of sarcasm.
He's got the correct twinge inflection of sarcasm, right?
Oh, man.
Okay, the grammatical structure of Welsh and Hebrew is the same. Underline that, folks. Mm-hmm. Underline that. You won't find this true of any other languages. Hebrew and Welsh are the same, folks. The verb, for instance, occupies the same place in the sentence in both languages. The roots of most Welsh words may be traced to Hebrew. Not only do Welsh words themselves indicate a similarity, their variations and inflections, and this is not Yiddish, folks. None of this is Yiddish. Yiddish is completely different.
Correct.
Okay. Their variations and inflections afford a much stronger proof of affinity. That is connection, relatedness.
Correct.
In the Celtic as well as in the Hebrew, and Celtic is incorrect, folks. It's Celtic. As well as the Hebrew, the cases and gender of nouns are distinguished by affixes and prefixes. This is true of the German.
That is okay. Correct.
D and der. D is the feminine prefix. Der is the masculine prefix. English has done away with all of that. Okay, for simplicity. The plural number of nouns likewise is often formed in a similar manner in the Celtic by adding in, I-N, to the singular. In Welsh, like Hebrew, has no present tense. What would you call it? Is it kind of a universal tense?
It's an open tense.
Open
more
tense.
More than anything. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So it's like kind of true for all time. It's kind of
One size fits all.
Yeah. Okay. So it hadn't developed the tenses that we have. We have multiple tenses in English.
English has become incredibly complicated.
Yeah. But the derivation of these tenses is useful because, you know, future perfect, present perfect means I will have become, right? It's very useful to change the tenses.
Well, it is more precise.
Well, it's precise, exactly.
It narrows it down from the broad base.
Yes.
That's the foundation word. It narrows it down to a specific.
Yeah. So obviously,
the other languages leave it open.
Right. So okay. Since it's an original language, it didn't have all these, you know, different tenses that we have today. Okay. And but nevertheless, you know, it shows that the origin is Hebrew. The Welsh and English derive, and so do German. All the Anglo-Saxon languages derive from Hebrew, all of them.
Well, okay, let's take Genesis. In the English, the earth was empty and void.
Mm-hmm.
Incorrect. In the Hebrew, the land, not the earth,
mm-hmm.
You can say earth. It will
the landmass. The landmass is really what it means.
Had become.
Mm-hmm.
It's past tense.
Mm-hmm.
If you read it in the Hebrew, but
right.
They translated it was.
Right, as if it was created in that fashion. No, it had become suggests a change in status.
It had become. In other words, prior to that, it wasn't empty and void.
That's right.
Because it goes back to the old thing, there was war in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, and
a catastrophe on the earth.
This planet got hit.
Changed. Got changed, yes.
Okay, it got hit.
It got hit, yes.
Okay.
Before Noah's flood.
Our concept of time is so narrow. And we try to narrow Yahweh down to that, too, and downsize him.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking an eternal
right.
being. And time is only a concept that we are trapped by. He's not trapped by time. A day is as a thousand years.
Mm-hmm. To Yahweh.
And they said, oh, this was the first day. No, that was the first age.
Age, exactly. Exactly. We just did a show with Professor Truth on Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. So that'll be put up, you know, on Eurofolk Radio as soon as he's done processing that, where we go into the inflections of Hebrew and showing how the King James got that wrong. Okay? They got that wrong. All right.
That's going to be a killer series of shows.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're going to do Genesis 1, 2, and 3, word study, very detailed word studies, verse by verse, okay? Nobody in Bible scholarship history has ever done anything as detailed as these shows are going to be, okay? But let's continue here. So no present tense in the formation of sentences and in the government of words, in the agreement of the adjective with the substantive, in the precedence of the latter, the substantive being the noun, the object, adjective, like a dry land. Dry is the adjective, okay? In the precedence of the latter. So the adjective precedes the noun. In the usual exceptions to this rule, and in verbs plural, being governed by nominative singular, the Welsh so exactly corresponds with the Hebrew that the same syntax might serve for both. Okay? So, which is a complicated way of saying that Welsh, the syntax of Welsh and Hebrew is identical, which he already stated a couple of times more simply. Merrick Casaubon has taken some pains to show that the Saxon language has great affinity with the Greek. Okay, so maybe we should step aside here and say, first of all, the Greeks, the original Greeks were descended from Japheth, and they populated the area of the northern Mediterranean area. Okay. Their Greek is also derived from Hebrew. Okay. And which shows that the Japhethites must have spoken. The Japheth was the brother of Shem, was the brother of Ham. Okay. So do you think they all spoke the same language in Noah's household, Pastor Steve?
Yeah, they sure did.
Did they all speak different languages? Right?
No, they became different over time. Colloquialisms worked their way in.
Yes, right. But they all had to speak the same language as the sons and daughters of Noah all did, right? But they migrated to different parts of the planet, okay? Although the Hebrews stayed in the Middle East. The Hamites went to Egypt, the Japhethites went north, all right? So they all spoke the same language, so you see the affinity between Greek and Hebrew, the affinity between Celtic and Hebrew, and Hamitic, the Hamito-Semitic, the scholars call it. Yeah. Hamitic is similar to Hebrew too, okay?
Yep.
But the changes are due to the migrations. It's pretty obvious that's where the changes came from, all right? Very much of Greek and Latin and other European languages can be derived from Hebrew. Thank you very much. So the question becomes, did even those English words that are similar to Greek and Latin come from them or their predecessor, Hebrew? What do you think, Pastor Steve?
There is an unmistakable connection between all of these.
Mm-hmm.
People that are nitpicking, well, this isn't exactly the same. Of course it's not exactly the same. How has our English language in America changed?
Yeah.
During my lifetime, just my 70 mm-hmm. years, I have noticed a change in the way we speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it is ever-changing still because of the influx of all these foreign agents into our country.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they are changing not only our language, but our culture. It mm-hmm. is no longer the culture that founded this nation. It is an inferior culture.
Mm-hmm.
That basically is parasitical off the original founders,
right,
of this country. We are having our hand on the buttocks of all these other people, just helping. I'm just going to help you.
Yeah.
In other words, I'm going to give you everything I got. You're going to hate me for it, and try to kill me.
And our heritage is being destroyed in the process.
That's how it's working out.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They hate us. They're never going to love us. They're jealous of us. They would rather see everything destroyed than try to learn from us.
That's right. Yeah, because they think they're better than we are.
And right? In many cases, they are incapable.
Yes, absolutely incapable.
Of learning from us. They just don't have the gray matter.
Right. That's right. That's absolutely right. No argument from me, Pastor Steve.
And they're trying to convert our children into the same dumbed down animals.
Right.
That they're forcing on the rest of us.
They've had to dumb the system down because the blacks cannot learn what we know.
No, they could never.
Mm-hmm.
Even in Cincinnati, where I'm from, there were segregated schools.
Yes.
And the blacks went to one school, and
yeah,
whites went to all the
And
others.
There was far less violence between the races when the schools
no
were
violence.
Segregated.
In the early days, integration means
destruction.
Violence.
It means destruction. Yes.
It doesn't work. Segregation needs to be the rule.
That's right. That's Yahweh's law. Segregation is Yahweh's law, folks. Okay. Let's continue. These European languages are quite young compared with the old Hebrew. And as we mentioned last week, the codification, the spelling of words, the definitions of words, this didn't come about until the 17th, 18th centuries, you know. So the meanings of the words and the pronunciation of the words, they were not fixed. They changed over time, continuously changed over time. Let's continue. Pages 67 to 72 of God's Covenant Man, British Israel, gives many English roots from Hebrew. The language of the learned bards, in which their poetry was composed, was Hebrew. Taliesin, a celebrated bard of the ancient Britons who was subsequently converted to Christianity, distinctly says, when speaking of his own songs, quote, "My lore has been declared in Hebrew. In the Hebraic tongue I have sung," unquote. Who else but an Anglo-Saxon could say such a thing, Pastor Steve?
I don't really know, because this has been such a subtle and gradual change. It appears radical right now because of all the time that has passed. But they've got a lot of stuff listed down below that gives a lot of words.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When we get to that, that's going to illustrate it better.
Yeah, if we don't finish this article today, we'll pick it up next week, and then we'll go into German.
Well, there's too much.
Yes, right. But the fact is, this has to be put out there in great detail, because the Judeos don't want to believe it. The academics don't want to believe it. The white nationalists don't want to believe it.
Well,
we just
got to
hammer them with the truth. Go ahead.
This does not deserve a gloss.
That's right.
You can't just gloss over this.
Yes.
We're going to have to really dig in. I know it'll be a little dry sometimes for some folks.
Yeah.
But if you bear with us, this is really going to bear fruit. And light bulbs are going to come on and you say, oh. It's just another proof positive of our history, of our bloodline. That's why the show is Bloodline. It's all about our people.
That's right.
And this is history of our people.
And no one can deny that our history has been suppressed.
Oh.
And
more so today than any other time in the past.
Lie story has taken its place. You know, phony story has taken its place. Right? And a part of the problem, too, is it's a separate issue, but the modern-ish versions of the Bible that are coming out are even worse than the King James. You know, they're constantly retranslating it. They're so far from the true meanings of the Hebrew and the Greek that it's just ridiculous. Okay? That's why we're here, folks, at Your Folk Radio, to preserve our heritage, which proves, one, who we are. Number two, we know what we're talking about. Let's continue. Dr. Thomas Stratton of Edinburgh said, quote, "It would be difficult to adduce a single article or form of construction in the Hebrew grammar, but the same is to be found in the Welsh. And there were many whole sentences in both languages exactly the same in the very words, quote, unquote. All right?
That sticks out like a sore thumb to me, buddy.
Yeah. So then don't tell me, folks, that English is not derived from Hebrew, or that German is not derived from Hebrew, or that there's a artificial distinction between Hebrew and the Indo-Aryan languages. That's what it is, folks. It's artificial. It's academic, and it's wrong. The Hebrew word for festival is moed.
Mm-hmm. Right? That is correct.
The Hebrew feast days are moeds. The annual Scottish Gaelic musical festival is known as the Mod. Right? Probably pronounced mode.
All right, and moed means the appointed time.
The appointed time. Okay. Do we have a date? Do we have an appointment? It's moed in Hebrew, folks. Moed.
Right.
Another Hebrew word for festival is chag.
Chag.
Chag. The Scotch and Gaelic dance is called a jig. All right. So to be festive, chag. Okay. Hooray or hurrah comes from the Hebrew number 7321, word for shout. You want to pronounce it for us, Pastor Steve?
Ruach.
Right. Hooray. Now, here we have an example of the syllables being transposed. All right. And that, we'll get into that. That's a function of boustrophedron, where the original writing of the Greeks and the Hebrew was right to left. English was left to right, but for a while, the Greek was written in both directions, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere along the line, a lot of these words got reversed, and the pronunciation was reversed, and they were given new meanings as well, okay? So, cairn is the Irish pronunciation of the Hebrew word kern, Q-R-N, no vowels, okay? Meaning a horn, which a cairn represents in appearance. Now, my understanding of a cairn in Ireland, there aren't they?
It's a burial place.
Yeah, a burial place, like a dome. Instead of being buried in the ground, although you know the person might be buried in the ground, they make a dome over it. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's cairn, meaning I can see the connection with horn here. Maybe you can explain.
Yeah. Well, there's not a lot of explanation on that.
Yeah. Okay.
It's been modified.
Yeah. Okay. It's been modified. So again, it may have originally meant horn, but to the Irish, it means a dome. It's a burial dome. Okay. From this root, the name of the Irish and Scottish handmill, the cairn, is derived. So-called because the bottom stone is at the top in form of a horn on which the upper stone revolves. Okay, if you say so.
Professor, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
That's
Professor Graves in 1855, speaking about an island at the mouth of the Kenmare River in Ireland, said that the obvious and certain derivation of this name is Dursey, the island of Dur. Dur meaning water. Okay. So what's the Hebrew word for water?
Mayim.
Mayim. Okay. So some Dur, I wonder if Dur is derived from like an inlet, like door. Okay. The suffix A-E-Y, meaning island in Hebrew, is found in many names of British islands, such as Dalkey, Ireland's Eye, Lambay, on the Irish coast, Anglesey, Orkney, Eday, blah, 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 so many I don't need to read them all. Numbers 336 and 339 of Strong's give E-E as the Hebrew sound for island. How would you pronounce that, Pastor Steve?
A.
A, okay. Uh-huh. Speaking before the British Association in 1847, James C. Pritchard, M.D., F.R.S., declared that Phoenician writing was the prototype of all the alphabets of the ancient and modern Europe, and probably representing the form of letters in which the sacred scriptures were originally written. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. As we pointed out earlier, Phoenician is derived from Hebrew, not vice versa.
Correct.
He went on to say that languages constantly borrow words from other languages, but they seldom, if ever, borrow idioms. Consequently, idiomatic relationship is strong presumptive evidence of ethnological identity, which we could say is racial identity. J.W. Donaldson said in 1851 to the British Association, quote, "Now modern philology leads us to the conclusion that the Semitic languages were originally built upon the same system of monosyllabic roots as the Sanskrit and Greek."
And Greek, yeah, that's right.
Okay. So, given the fact that so many scholars know the connection between Hebrew, Sanskrit, Greek, and English, where did academia come up with this idea that they're unrelated? Where'd they get this from? Somebody made it up, folks. Right? So here, just there's so many here, we can't read them all. I'll just go. The English rabbit comes from the Hebrew arnbit, hair. The RNA are reversed for the adder from atar to encircle. Branch comes from brach, to reach across. Let's see, elm from elon, an oak. Holly from Hallel. Brush from Brush. Nectar comes from Qatar, perfume. Mistletoe from Mazel Tov. Cabbage from Kabaz. Onion from Oin. Squash from Kasha. Barley from Bar, corn. All right, so we see, and camel. From Gamel?
Gamel.
Okay. So if you actually study the connections between English, Hebrew, Gaelic, Latin, Greek, etc., you will see they all come from a common source. And that common source, folks, is Hebrew. Okay, now here we're going to go into the left right versus right left. Direction of writing in Hebrew is right to left, while English is left to right. Therefore, critics argue that the English couldn't be Israelites. But the Anglo-Saxon tongue was largely an unwritten one prior to their settlement in Britain. Speaking of the alphabet and its origin, at a meeting of the British Association in 1872, John...
Stop.
Okay.
Alphabet. That comes from the first two letters, Aleph and Beit.
Of the Hebrew alphabet.
Aleph, Beit.
That's right. Okay. So even the word alphabet is derived from Hebrew, folks.
That's correct.
Quote, if the date which has been assigned to the famous Moabite stone of about 900 BC, we were talking about these stelae earlier, be correct, the correspondence in form between the archaic Greek letters and those on the stone raises a strong presumptive in favor of letters having been imported into Greece at the time when the Phoenician alphabet was in that stage of development in which it occurs on the stone. As we said earlier, the original Greeks were Japhethites who probably did not have a written language. Okay? Mm-hmm. So those Japhethites, picked it up from our Hebrew ancestors. Okay? All right, even the name of the alphabet preserves the memory of its Phoenician origin Hebrew origin. The names of the two letters from which the word is derived are not really Greek, but merely Hellenized form of the Phoenician, i.e. Hebrew, Aleph and Bet. The same is the case with the names of all other Greek letters down to Tau, which is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It must, however, be remembered that the letters of the Moabite stone were written from right to left, or in the same manner as Hebrew, and not, as is the case with us, from left to right. In the early Greek inscriptions, it appears to have been a matter of indifference in which direction the letters were placed. In some, the lines are alternately in either direction, or alternately, and this form of writing was known as boustrophedon, or that which turned backwards and forwards like an ox in the plowing. The language of the Hebrew scriptures may practically be regarded as the same as the Phoenician.
Right. What they would do, they'd start on the left and they'd write all the way over to the right.
Mm-hmm.
They were on a scroll.
Right.
They didn't want to go all the way back to the other side of the scroll, so they'd just drop down a line and start writing mm-hmm. from right to left.
Yeah.
And when they got all the way over to the left, they'd drop down and start writing to the right.
Don't confuse me.
It was a
me.
Zigzag, a That's zigzag, right. a zigzag thing. And yeah. it, unless you knew what they were doing, it would drive you nuts.
It would, yeah. Right? That's what decoders are for, right?
Right. Oh, man.
Yeah, and so this explains why so many words in English are the exact reverse of Hebrew words, as we were talking about earlier, Gael and Leg. All right? The encyclopedia...
Well, that chat room is hopping. They're digging this. Yeah. Hello. I want to say hello to everybody. Yeah. Thanks for tuning in.
Yes.
We
don't
appreciate
mess, it. Don't mess with the King's English. Right? Right.
Nicht sprechen Sie Englisch.
Yes. No spigata. So we're seeing here, again, this is our heritage, folks.
Right.
No other people on the planet have this heritage, especially not the Jews. Okay. All right. So Sir Charles Marston in The Bible Comes Alive says, it will be seen from the archaeological evidence cited in these pages that the Israelites had, from the time of Moses onward, at least three alphabetical scripts. First, what is known as the Sinai Hebrew. Next, what is known as the Phoenician Hebrew. He's correct in stating these are Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Professor Sir Charles Marston. And lastly, after the captivity in Babylon, what is known as the Assyrian Hebrew, which would have to be known as Aramaic. Correct? Would that be a correct
That's
assumption?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yes.
So the language of Aram, or mm-hmm. Syria, what is now known as Syria.
Right. Which is a dialect of Hebrew. That's all it is. It's a
correct.
Dialect of Hebrew. So far as...
Slight yes. difference in spelling and pronunciation
yes.
on only some words. The rest of it's
right.
the same.
Yeah, and that was the language that had become common in Philistia, Palestine, Judea,
right.
in the
and
days
when
Yeshua...
That's what Yeshua spoke, yeah.
That's right. It was a dialect of Hebrew. Quote, so far as is known at present, it would seem as though the Sinai Hebrew script usually reads from left to right... like our own writing, while the Phoenician Hebrew reads from right to left, like modern Hebrew. That's interesting. If that's the case, then the original Hebrew was left to right. That's news to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Professor Stephen Langdon, and this is probably a function of this booster feed on, you know. So depending on the size of the parchment you write, you don't take five steps over from the right to the left and start over. Well, no, I'm not going to bother walking that far. I'm just going to go right to left and then left to right. Yeah, as you say, zigzag, which the scholars refer to as booster feed on. Okay.
Right.
Professor Stephen Langdon, professor of Assyriology at Oxford, wrote in a letter to the Times, 5th October 1935, with reference to the Sinai Hebrew inscription on the Lachish Red Bull, which had been published in that journal on the 24th of June under the title of Antiquities from Lachish by J.L. Starkey, quote, the inscription as published in Times should be inverted and read from left to right, for this was the original direction of writing the Sinaitic script. Wow, that's mm-hmm. news to me. I didn't know that.
Oh, but yeah. And since the Jews have got a hold of it,
it's all different.
This block Hebrew.
Yeah, it's a Jewish invention.
With its added vowel points, etc., you need to discount those Masoretic vowel points because they are deceptive.
Yes.
They're falsehood. They've changed the meaning. They've changed the spelling.
Okay.
They have done their little deceptive thing. They are deceivers. Well, they're same with their written text. If you really want to get the straight scoop, you ignore the vowel points and you just read the Hebrew letters, but you have to know the language to see what they're saying, because if you read those vowel points, where did Jehovah come from? There's no word Jehovah.
Right.
That's that vowel point. They wrote the vowel points of Adonai under Yahweh. Why did they add those the vowel points from Adonai? That means Lord. Under the sacred name. Because they don't pronounce the sacred name. Because they don't worship Yahweh.
That's right. That's right. Well, here, let me quote Matthew.
Another word for Lord, Adonai means Lord, and so does Baal.
Right. Right. Matthew 5:18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. And that means all prophecy, all scripture. All scripture will be fulfilled. And Luke preserves it in this form, 16 verse 17. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. All right, what's the difference, Pastor Steve, between jots and tittles versus these vowel points?
A jot is the dot of an I, a tittle is a cross of a T.
Okay. So, in other words, the fine points of the law will not fail. They will not fail.
Well,
but yet we have these antinomians, so-called Christians, who will tell you that the law has been done away with.
Because it's inconvenient to their lifestyle.
An inconvenient truth. Right? Exactly. All right.
Because the truth is unpleasant, it does not make it less the truth.
Right.
It just means you need to change your ways to match the truth instead of trying to alter or subvert the truth to match your ways.
That's right.
Which is what has been done. The latter has been done here in today's society. Everything's good.
Yeah, it's all good, even though it's falling apart.
No, right? No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
We're all brothers and sisters. No.
No, we're not.
We're not.
Yeah, well, blue, red blood. Well, so do porcupines.
You don't have to hate on everybody. If somebody acts right, you treat them right.
That's right, yeah.
But if they act like a complete thug, you just get rid of them.
That's right. Yeah. We don't want that kind of behavior. That's why not even liberals will move into black neighborhoods.
Our people have forgotten the one key point in this whole mess. All these other people are not us.
We're not the covenant people.
They will never be us.
Never can
they
be us.
They can never become us. No amount of anything is going to change the fact that we are a set apart race of people. And quit trying to apologize for our racial history. And we are what we are.
Right.
Deal with it.
And that's the true meaning of the word holy. Set apart.
It's kadosh.
It means set apart. That's what it means. The Judeo religions have totally distorted the meaning of the word kadesh, which means to set apart. All right.
No, Kadesh means from the east. Kadosh means.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
You gotta speak.
You gotta pronounce it right.
Yeah. Okay. It's very supple. There's
slap,
and an O.
All right.
Kadosh.
The Lacedaemonians wrote Greek from left to right, yet they were Israelites. 1 Maccabees 12:6-23. Okay.
Sure.
Was runic derived from Hebrew? Now, any white nationalists, pay attention. The early Saxon alphabet contained letters before its contact with Greece and Rome. The old runes are letters. The Saxons had terms of their own, not borrowed from Latin, for alphabetical letters. Writing is expressed in Saxon by a verb not of Roman origin, so it's not Latin. Saxons didn't derive their word book from liber. However, there are numerous points of resemblance between the ancient British or runic alphabet and those of the ancient Hebrews and Phoenicians. And the Phoenicians were nothing but Israelites who set sail in ships for trade under Tyre.
Yeah, okay. They just got a new name.
It's got a new name. Haig's Conquest of Britain by the Saxons, pages so-and-so. The Futhoric or runic alphabet originated clearly in times of primitive antiquity. The nomenclature of the Phoenician-Hebrew alphabet is admitted. That's good. Phoenician-Hebrew. They're not different, folks. They're the same. Alphabet is admitted to indicate its having originated in a primitive state of society. And that of the Futhoric has precisely the same character. I would say, Pastor Steve, that the runic inscriptions in the north in Sweden are Hebrew, Paleo-Hebrew.
The Vikings.
Yes.
All blonde-haired, blue-eyed, came from our culture.
Right.
Warrior, seafaring tribes. Yeah.
Battle axe.
Okay, that battle axe, great axemen.
Right.
It all comes from our roots.
That's right. Our
and to
Hebrew,
those
Israelite
in the
roots.
Know, we're sitting back and we're looking at all of this overview, and we have been enlightened, and it is so blatantly obvious to people like yourself and myself. We see all this connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got to connect the dots mentality.
Right.
These other people are struggling with denial.
Yeah, right. Junial.
They're trying to fit in to today's society. They don't want any trouble.
Right.
Might interfere
they want
with
truth.
They don't want truth. That might interfere with their stuff gathering.
Right.
Because they measure their self-worth on how much stuff they can accumulate.
In other words, they have become Judaized.
That is correct. They are in self-delusion.
Mm-hmm. And denial of the Hebrew scriptures.
They have been led astray, just like Solomon's wives led him astray. He had all, I was reading, I'm doing Kings.
Yes.
I'm computerizing Kings and getting everything printed. I might do.
That's a nice metaphor.
Very well. My next wake-up call, I might do on Solomon and what happened.
Well, the Judeo churches are like Solomon's wives, then.
Well, yes. Many different flavors.
Yeah, you go.
And one size does not fit all.
That's right.
Depends
That's
on
right.
what kind of culture.
You want diversity, you got it, folks.
you want to be in their little cult, that you got to join this one. You want to be in another little cult, you got to join that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, the demon nations, you know, right.
The Church of the Glorious Trinity.
Our Lady of Perpetual Debt, right? Whatever denomination you pick, it's the wrong one because it's not identity.
Church of what's happening now.
There you go.
Absolutely.
The Church of what's up. All right. Jim Jones, the Church of Jim Jones. That's another one. Take some more purple Kool-Aid, folks.
There you
All right.
go.
Okay, with a few minutes left here. Indeed, it is remarkable how many of the objects named are common to both, that is, the runic alphabet and the Hebrew alphabet. How identical was the feeling which dictated in each case the choice of the symbols. The remarkable coincidence in both systems, commencing with the names of the domestic cattle. One of the earliest of those Futhorics consisted of 16 runes. So also did the early Phoenician, which is Hebrew, folks. As in Phoenician and Hebrew, so on runic monuments in Norway and Sweden, writing is found from right to left. Okay.
Bingo!
Don't confuse us, folks. In the symbols employed, there are several parallels. Aleph, the first character of the Hebrew and Phoenician alphabet, was the head of an ox with its horns. Yep. Pheo was the first letter of the runic, with the same meaning, is but a variant of the same symbol and corresponds very nearly with the Samaritan character thorn. Thorn, the third rune, is certainly allied to Dalet, and is, as the latter is a door. That's the word that I was trying to think of earlier. Door, maybe the word door, symbolizes a door. Okay. All right. So we don't have enough time to finish this today, folks. We'll pick this up next week because we want to connect with the white nationalists. Oh.
This is juicy. I'm enjoying this.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah, because they need to know this stuff. The Jews are not Hebrews. They're not Israelites. They're not Shemites. We're the Hebrews and Shemites. Get it, and get it good. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition.
Shalom aleichem.
Bye-bye.